So anything that's 1% or higher is considered high grade, just because we've been mining so much of the high grade over the years that we're getting down to that average grade. We have 60 million tons of it. It's nickel laterite, so it sits at surface. You can just scoop it out and ship it to a concentrating plant, which is what we intend to do. It's very, very cheap to mine.
Okay, that's my next question here. You've said it's very cheap to mine and it's at surface. I'm trying to get my mind around this, and to all my viewers and listeners to get their mind around this. This is not like, I don't know. I mean, I was on a gold mine a few months ago and they're blasting the mountain. This is not that, correct? This is basically you're scooping it up. Am I right in
There's
saying that?
no blasting. So it's a composition of soil and
That's
rocks
great.
that you
Steve,
just
that's
dig out of
great.
the ground. There's about 4 to 8 inches of what you would normally call soil, topsoil,
Yeah.
which would be organic, and you scrape away the vegetation. So just imagine 3,000 acres of this material, and it has an average depth of 20 to 40 feet.
Steve Balch, Homeland Nickel. Good afternoon to you, my friend. Good to see you.
Great to see you, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And you have such a compelling story. When we first met, I'm gonna start at the top. When we first met, you told me that you have a very large nickel deposit, and there was an Oregon, which really prompted my curiosity because you don't see a whole lot of mining in Oregon. Number one, but number two is like I was thinking, why Oregon? And I want you to go into that. Why Oregon and why this project? And there was really, I think, there was an opportunity that it allowed you to pick it up. It's they have that saying, buy straw hats in the winter. I think that's what you guys did. So work that out to me. Why Oregon? Why nickel? And why that area?
Sure. Well, in terms of mining in Oregon, the last mine, I think, closed in 1987. It was the United States' largest nickel mine in Riddle, Oregon, owned by Hanna Mining. And they mined almost 60 million tons of just over between 1 and 1.5% nickel. So the largest nickel mine in the United States is in southern Oregon, which is the same geology where we're operating. And this property was shown to me in 2022. They talked about having 60 million tons of almost 1% nickel sitting at surface. And honestly, I didn't really believe it at the time. It didn't pay much attention. They reintroduced me to the project, and I did some due diligence. Turns out that in Southern Oregon and Northern California, there's an ultramafic complex called the Josephine Ophiolite. It's about 150 kilometers north south by up to 75 kilometers east west. It's the single largest source of nickel in North America. Now, these ophiolites are low grade, they're about 0.2 to 0.25 nickel. But in southern Oregon, they've been lifted up, exposed at surface, and eroded for the past 5 million years. So they've been upgraded into a nickel laterite, which has a grade of up to 1.5%. And really, that's why I got excited. I wanted to find an asset of nickel in the U.S. It's the our one project, Cleopatra, is the largest undeveloped high-grade nickel deposit in the US at roughly 40 million tons, almost a percent nickel. And we've only explored it to an average depth of 8.5 feet.
Okay, so you just said a lot there, and a lot of pun intended, a lot of nuggets, mining nuggets in there. But I want to work that out a little more. Let me backtrack just a little bit. I am going to name drop. I talked to Frank Gustra about a year ago. I had lunch with him, the pleasure of having lunch with him. I asked him, what's the one commodity you'd be most interested in right now and over the next several years? And he actually dropped nickel. That's what he said he would be doing. So again, that had my interest when we first spoke. You had me at that. just nickel. But for us non-geologists out there, it sounds like you have a bunch of nickel, ton of nickel, pun intended. But how much, put that in perspective, really, how much you have. And then also talk to me about grade for the non-geologist, because again, that's very high grade. Would you said one, what did you say, 1.5%, if I'm not mistaken?
1%.
1%. That sounds very high. And I'm not familiar with the grade of nickel, but just work that out for me, those two things, if you don't mind.
Sure. So let's start with the grade of nickel. Historically, high grade nickel has been, anything over 2%. And that might have been 50 years ago. Interestingly, in the 1940s, they wrote a paper saying that 5% nickel probably wasn't high grade enough. They needed 8% nickel in the southern US to make a mine. And here we are in 2026. So anything that's 1% or higher is considered high grade, just because we've been mining so much of the high grade over the years that we're getting down to that average grade. We have 60 million tons of it. It's nickel laterite, so it sits at surface. You can just scoop it out and ship it to a concentrating plant, which is what we intend to do. It's very, very cheap to mine.
Okay, that's my next question here. You've said it's very cheap to mine and it's at surface. I'm trying to get my mind around this, and to all my viewers and listeners, to get their mind around this. This is not like, I don't know. I mean, I was on a gold mine a few months ago and they're blasting the mountain. This is not that, correct? This is basically you're scooping it up. Am I right in
There's
saying that?
no blasting, so it's a composition of soil and
That's
rocks
great.
that you
See,
just
that's
dig out of
great.
the ground. There's about 4 to 8 inches of what you would normally call soil, topsoil,
Yeah.
which would be organic, and you scrape away the vegetation. So just imagine 3,000 acres of this material, and it has an average depth of 20 to 40 feet, and we've gone down 8.5 feet so far. And we
Got
have
it.
nine of these properties.
You have nine of these, and you scrape it, you put it in a truck, and you haul it away to get processed. Is that correct?
To a concentrating plant, and you want the concentrating plant to be within about, 20 or 30 kilometers of the mine site. And all of our properties are within a diameter of 75 kilometers.
Okay, so my next question is, how did you get this? And this almost sounds too good to be true, number one. And number two is, walk me through the process in Oregon. Again, I don't hear a whole lot of mining in Oregon. Is it jurisdiction friendly? And yeah, work through me with that, and because I'm concerned about permitting and that sort of thing.
Sure. So, I mean, talking about buying straw hats in the wintertime, this was shopped to us in 2022 and into early 2023. People looking to unload a nickel property in Southern Oregon in an area which was thought at the time to be unminable just because of the jurisdiction. So, when we acquired it after quite a bit of due diligence, I think we paid 0.15 cents per pound of nickel for it. So we got it for not much money.
Oh my
Now,
gosh.
the
I'm not
permitting
laughing at
and
you. I'm just like, that's why we do this, right? But buy straw hats in the winter. I mean, that's the smart people.
so in Southern Oregon, our properties are all within the Siskiyou National Forest. It's a national forest that's governed by the Forest Service, which is a national or a federal body, and we need permission from them to disturb the surface. Once we go under the surface, we need permission from the Department of Geology in Southern Oregon, Department of Geology and Mineral Inventory, or DOGGMI, and that's if we want to drill deeper than 50 feet vertically, or if we want to do surface excavations in aggregate of more than an acre. So our original permit, which we applied, the plan of operation,
Little
a
nickel.
environmental review, which we're in the process of doing right now, and a heritage certificate, which has to be obtain. That just looks at things that are culturally significant or if there are any tribal claims. And all that work has been done. We're just waiting for final sign-offs before we get our permits.
Okay.
It's a slow process.
Yeah, no, that's mining here. But okay, so but talk to me. There's a plan now in place, that's what you're telling us, and permitting shouldn't be a problem, correct?
Yeah, they're not there to prevent you from getting permitted. They're there to follow the rules, and the rules tend to be followed slowly through the Forest Service because they're not used to looking after mining claims. And I think they only have one person who can approve these things, so there's quite a
Sure.
bottleneck. But it's been
Sure.
changing a lot. Last year, we talked to the Forest Service three or four times in the year. This year, we talk to them one or two times a week. So it's really changed quite a bit. And
Yeah, and it helps. So yeah, just now they're familiar with you and what you're trying to do.
yeah, and we're a priority project to them. So we're getting a lot of a timely response. And also we're learning the ropes too. There's a lot of things that we probably should have done in 2024 that we're now doing in 2026. And most of it's just documentation.
Got it. Okay, so walk me through really the next quarter. Just what do you got that you can talk about that people should be aware of? Like you have news coming out. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at. Talk to me about that, what you can, that people should be paying attention to.
Okay, so first of all, on the exploration front, we have two plan of operations submitted. One is on Red Flat, which is probably the easiest to access property that we have. And there's a historical resource of almost 20 million tons at about 0.84% nickel. And it's important to remember that when you're exploring for nickel laterite, the grades tend to increase at depth because the nickel tends to concentrate there. So as we go deeper, we would expect to hit higher grades of nickel. And right now at Red Flat, our average depth is about 10 feet. So we have applied for plan of operations at Cleopatra and Red Flat. We'll do some sonic drilling on both of those. Sonic drills, they allow you to drill through soil and rock, unlike normal core drilling, which doesn't like soil, and other forms of drilling like reverse circulation, which wouldn't work well in the soil as well. So we're doing sonic holes up to a maximum of 50 feet. And the purpose there is to give us an idea of how thick the laterite is. And that will allow us to go in next year with a much more substantial project where we drill on a grid to obtain updated measured and indicated resources. And I'd like to double the resource at both Red Flat and Cleopatra just by drilling deeper holes, which I think we can. We have roughly 3,000 acres at Cleopatra and 2,000 acres at Red Flat.
So two things about that. Those results should be out this fall. Is that correct?
You're looking at probably a month to 2 months to get the assay results back. And that's when you would see news flow coming out. And we're also converting our historical 43-101 reports into US SK 1300 format. You'll see that come out fairly soon. On the other front, on the non-exploration front, we partnered with Patriot Nickel, and that's a US-based company that was formed specifically to take on two of our projects. Cleopatra is one of them, and $8 Mountain is the other, because we think it's a US story, and we want to be able to have a US company kind of headlining it. So we want to mine, concentrate, and refine in the United States. Patriot Nickel will option Cleopatra and $8 Mountain. They'll be able to earn an 80% interest by publishing a feasibility study. We'll retain 20% of those two projects, but probably better for us is we'll own 20% of the common shares of Patriot when it lists on a US exchange, either NASDAQ or New York.
Wow. Okay, and that would be a great listing too, Don.
And there's some really good people at Patriot. The CEO is a guy named Jeff Strobel, former Navy officer, a US veteran, 25 years in the mining industry, a lot of it in kind of rescuing companies, make sure that those assets are in good shape for it.
Okay, excellent. So, Steve, if my viewers and investors want to do more due diligence on you, how do they find you? What's your website? What exchanges are you traded on? And what are your ticker symbols?
So we trade on the Venture Exchange in Toronto, the TSXV, trade SHL. Our website is homelandnickel.com, and you can go on there. Our 43-101 reports for Cleopatra and Red Flat are there, as well as descriptions of all nine properties. That's probably the best way. If there is a person who has specific questions, they can contact me directly. I always answer my phone, and my phone number is on all our press releases, or they can email me at steve@beci.ca.
Got it. And Steve's very responsive to me. So I encourage any and all investors and viewers to do that. Steve, I'll put all of this in the show notes below and love to have you on again really soon as the news starts coming out. So we'll be in touch.
Fantastic, thanks.
Thank you.